Joining us now is the always well-dressed, smiling for the cameras, Dan Murphy. How are you, Murphy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, you know, it's been a busy couple of days for us, last 24 hours. We're more than hockey, Murph. So are you.
Perry's still bragging that he
we're more than
that
hockey
news
Murph
yesterday.
Yeah. You didn't even know.
That was a good scoop, though, by Perry.
Thank you very much for that,
I mean,
Murph.
It was a very good scoop. I wish I really have had time to read into everything, but I still don't know if I have an opinion.
Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks. And joining us now, bland Dan Murphy.
I'm not sure.
What about the Sedins? Not sure. When will they score? I'm not sure. Thanks, Murph.
Soccer,
this is going to be good.
Soccer.
I know.
Of course, I'd love to see some natural turf in BC Place and World Cup games.
Yeah. Well, you'd like to see a red light be turned on the opposition when the Canucks play. You are around these guys and have been for a long time. Have you ever seen it this low as far as just their emotion and when they're away from the rink?
Yeah. You know what? I still don't get the sense that right now feels like the same death march as this time last year. And maybe it was because last season the inevitable coaching change was going to happen. Willie D was clinging to certain line combinations and things and going down with the ship. So I just don't get the sense it's quite as bad as last season. And, I mean, I think you've heard it the last couple of games, post-games, the players don't seem terribly upset with the effort, and that's what it's come to. You know, they're of course they want to score. Of course they'd like to win, but it seems like they're you know, getting brownie points from the head coach for playing hard and not laying down for the rest of the season. And I think you have to, you know, you have to factor in the case that there's, what, seven American Hockey Leaguers on the team. I think they're trying hard. I just don't think they're good enough. And you'd think that you could luck your way or fluke your way into a goal in three games. That hasn't happened. And now they have to do it within 22 minutes. Or they're going to set a dubious record.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they outchanced Anaheim last night by the stat I saw, 33-28. So if you keep doing that, you're going to score some goals, but it's just tough when you're going through it. I really don't know what else to say, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, some of the best chances last night, I thought Reed Boucher was pretty good. Delzotto had a couple of looks. You know, so... Yeah, of course you're going to outshoot or chance opponent when you're trailing 1-0, 2.5 minutes in, and you know, and then you know, shortly into the third period, it's, or in the second period, it's 2-0, and score effects kick in. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, some guys wear it more than others. I'd say the Horvat's a guy that looks especially down because I think he expects to be one of the guys to prop the team up when things aren't going well. I'd say the Twins do as well. And last night, I think it was maybe the first time all season, I didn't see Markstrom's talk after a game, because I'm not sure what can he say. I mean, he's talked a couple of times after getting no goal support, and what you do is you end up getting yourself in trouble. I mean, Lord knows we saw that when Luongo was a captain of this team and had to speak after a number of losses. So, you know, there are some signs of strain, no doubt. I'm sure that the coaching staff is pulling its hair out. You know, they're searching for answers. They're certainly changing line combinations. They're looking for any sort of spark to break out of this. But I will say this. I mean, you've got the Tank Nation, and I think it's far more admirable to try to win and lose than it is to try to lose and lose down the stretch. And I think at least they've got that going for them.
Yeah,
is that a positive?
Yeah, no, it is, because I've said I think that's the best case scenario. You want this team to play well and lose by one.
Yeah, but I mean, on home ice too, I think they're probably lucky this kind of happened on the road, because on home ice, I think the fans that still go to the building still want to see some excitement, still want to see some goals, and I think probably the fans that go to the games still want to see some wins, although they'd take a 6-5 loss like Dallas had last night in Toronto. I mean, they'd love to see games like that. I don't think you can come into your home rink and go goalless for three games. Otherwise, things could get pretty ugly quite quickly.
I wonder if Brock Besser gets some Hart Trophy votes after all this.
Well, we had that graphic last night just about the record with and without, the shots with and without power play. It is really quite amazing when you look at it. But, you know, obviously he's by far the most valuable player this season. But you're also missing Berchi, who, you know, wherever you think he falls on a good team, he's still one of the best offensive players on this team. And you're without your best defenseman, I believe, in Tanev. So it's just, you know, too many injuries and not enough depth to begin with.
Was anybody on that team surprised that they shut down Gudbranson yesterday?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, they've seen him wearing that big brace ever since November. You know, he's been playing through it. I think that they wanted to make sure. I think that he still could play and play with it, but I think they wanted to make sure that something doesn't happen in the future, and this is the best way to guarantee against it, the best way to try and guarantee against it is to give him this procedure and have him back by training camp. I don't think too many people were surprised about that, especially not the guys in the room.
Sedin's, not often you see one of them take the misconduct penalty like Daniel did last night. Think back to the Arizona game, the final shot there, and Daniel thought he had it, and it obviously didn't go in. They seem to be wearing it as much as anybody right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that probably was a direct result. The Daniel one is that they were trying to score a goal, trying to break the slump, and I think they felt like they got the short end of the stick from the refs again on the Edler interference penalty with Corey Perry, who's been known to make sure the refs see a call every now and then. I think it's the first time, maybe the second time all season, Travis Green was actually critical of the officiating after the game. So I just think that the Daniel misconduct had to do directly with that one play, but also the culmination of frustration of not being able to score.
It's easy for organizations to say, as far as young players, they're just not ready yet. We will not rush them in. Can they use that next year for some of their key players, or in light, Murph, of how this team has struggled? Sometimes, and some would argue the Sedins weren't ready and they were pushed in because there wasn't a lot here. Not a lot here right now. Do you think they have to really weigh that out and go, we might make a lot of mistakes with some young kids next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think at least when the Twins came in, Perry, as you know, that was a rookie season. You were on the job. At least they kind of had the West Coast Express in front of them to buffer it a bit. And I suppose you could look at the Horvat, Besser, and whoever is going to be on that wing as the first line next season. So whatever young players come in are playing behind of those guys. I think definitely the fan base would like to see some young players, some of these prospects they've talked about. I mean, Pedersen, I think everybody wants to see him, but it is important you don't rush him, especially when the guy weighs 170 pounds. You don't want to be risking any sort of injuries early on, and you don't want to really give his psyche a beating, which is what happened to the Twins. They've admitted they wanted to go back early on because of the criticism they received and that they just couldn't translate to the NHL level, their offensive skills. So I think you have to be careful, but certainly the fan base is ready to see if Pedersen can play, to see if Dahlin can play. But I think that Rasmus Dahlin will fit right in when they get him.
Did you catch any of Tiger's round this morning?
Yeah. I didn't. We didn't get back until like 3. I got back at 3 to the house, and I didn't fall asleep till 4, so I was kind of getting up and getting the child ready. But, I still don't know if I'm quite a believer, but I will say this. Seeing him work the ball around, like he's hitting draws and fades and, you know, high cuts and low draws, and he's moving the ball. So it seems to me for the first time in a long time, you don't see him thinking about the swing. You see him thinking about the shot. And I think certainly when he's doing that, you have to figure he is, as close to being back as he has been the last 5 years. So I'm not a huge Tiger fan, but I do admit when he's in the hunt, I like it a whole lot more, and it drives a whole lot more interest to the sport. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I think a million views of his putt in the last 3 hours. Murph, you did have an opinion. We appreciate that. Thank you, my friend. Sportsnet 650.